My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I'm mad.
I'm not mad.
I don't want to start a Monday that way. I am excited to be here. I'm excited that you, James, are here. I'm excited that you, listener, is here. Chatty House, what up? I always look over at the computer where the Chatty House is when my computer is in front of me. Chatty House, what's good? Before we get to the Kings' outstanding win over the Minnesota Timberwolves, and their climb up to number 6 in the Western Conference standings, I need to complain about something very, very briefly.
Okay, I'm here.
I was bopping around because I obviously sports betting is not legal in this state, but I still like to bop around and look at trends and look at games and just kind of follow along. I'm on the outside looking. I'm window shopping the betting markets.
Okay.
So I go to NBA futures, and I just wanted to kind of pop in and see, I wonder what the Pacific Division looks like. The Kings will win the Pacific Division. Clippers minus 3,000, which makes sense. They're a few games up with not a lot of games to go.
Yep.
That makes sense. The Suns at plus 2,000. I mean, they're going to stay ahead of Sacramento because of the players on their team and the way bets are going to come in on them. And the Kings at plus 2,500. So I'm like, okay, that's about right. And then the Lakers and Warriors way down there. And so I'm scrolling through and I'm looking and I go, oh, MVP odds.
Uh-oh.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was my preseason pick.
Okay.
So I want to see how that's doing. Now look, Nikola Jokic minus 150. So you got to bet $150 to win $100.
It's not a great bet.
Nikola Jokic is the MVP. Yeah, don't love that. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, number 2 at plus 240.
Mm.
Okay. Which, okay, that's about right. I like that. You bet $100 on Shai and he wins it, you win $240. And then you get to number 3. And this is what irks me. Luka Doncic, plus 650.
He went into MVP, Kyle.
What are we doing? What are we doing here? Let's take a gander, James. Walk with me over here to the standings. Let's see. Let's look. Let's see. So top 4, 5. No, 6. No, 7. No, 8. They're the 8th seed by a full game. They are way the 8 seed. To even be in the MVP conversation, to me, unless you're... What was Russell Westbrook the year he averaged a triple-double? They were the 5 seed?
Yeah, they were a good team. I can't remember what exactly they were.
But there was a big... They were like a 5... I think they were a 5. They might have been a 6. But they were not a top 3 or 4 seed. And it was like, you know what? Nobody's averaged a triple-double since Oscar Robertson. This makes sense that he would win he won the year. This is his year. Like get KD left, he took over. They were still a playoff team. Average a triple dub. Okay, great. Fine. an 8 seed is egregious. And I don't understand why there's this like movement to make Luka an MVP. Why are we trying so desperately to get Luka Doncic a freaking MVP award?
I wonder if Luka has found the list of all the MVP voters and he has treated them like officials. He just flies to their house and just sits there at their front door and berates them through their Ring camera.
Maybe.
Like, I am the MVP.
Maybe.
You need to make sure I'm the MVP.
That would make sense given his on-court actions for sure.
Well, that, and I would also say that like it's not just that he's eighth in the West, but the MVP award is a league-wide award. His team has the 15th best record in the NBA.
Do you know who is behind him?
Well, I know that Domantas Sabonis is somewhere down behind him.
Yeah, Sabonis is not even, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The top 9 are listed here. He's not even on here. Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is on the number 2 seed in the East behind him. Jason Tatum, who is on the best team in the NBA.
Yes, best player, best team.
Way behind him.
That's ridiculous.
Tatum's plus 2,000. And then you've got, it goes Tatum plus 2,000. The next one is Kawhi at plus 15,000. So pretty clear gap in where the MVP cutoff is. But Kawhi at plus 15,000. Luka Doncic plus 650.
So wait, 100 gives you $15,000?
$15,000 if Kawhi Leonard wins MVP.
That's an interesting bet.
I feel like that's the kind of, like, if we were these type of people, we're not, and we're not advocating doing this, we're not doing this. But that feels like the kind of thing you could go put a little cheddar down, and then you know enough people.
Start making calls. For me, I'm shocked that Jason Tatum isn't higher.
I am too, man.
And we're talking about a team that's running away. Running away.
They are so good. They beat the Warriors by 50 yesterday.
Yeah.
It was their third 50-point win of the year.
Oof.
They won a game by 50 points, and it was not the only time they'd done that.
That's wild.
That's ridiculous.
That's crazy talk. Hey, Charlie's here.
Charlie's in the building. I don't understand, and this is just kind of what I don't have a larger point to make here. Thank you, Charlie.
Other than... It's a Travis Shammah mockery that Luka is still up there. And like,
yeah, man. I get that sometimes there's guys who are like, hey, it's their time. It's their time. That's how it felt like with Joel Embiid last year.
It was.
Like, you know what? This is his. Jokic has won the last two. There's a little Jokic fatigue. There's fatigue of, hey, he hasn't won a ring yet. And he can't be a 3-time MVP unless you have a ring, which is I thought was silly. But it's Embiid's time. Here it is. Stop trying to make it when Luka Doncic and the Mavs are one of the three best teams in the West and one of the five or six best teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Then okay, let's have the conversation because he will be there if that happens. And I understand his numbers are outrageous. I think he's leading the league in scoring right now.
Yeah, he's at 34.5, 9.7 assists, 8.9 rebounds.
Right.
I mean, his numbers are spectacular.
I'm not trying to say that Luka Doncic is not good. If the Mavericks were the Clippers and were 39-20 right now,
okay,
I think Luka would be the favorite to
probably
win.
Yeah.
So his numbers are there. I get it. It's not that he is not that caliber of player, but you talked about with the Kings not having any All-Stars. And you talked about that, the contract, the social contract, the unwritten social contract with the league. I think that goes for MVP too. You cannot realistically have a most valuable player whose team doesn't even make the playoffs on the first try.
Oh yeah.
You could, if you have an MVP, and again, I don't think Luka's gonna win it. I hate that he is so high up in the odds, though, in sports books, because of this thing that just gets pushed. Like, oh man, Luka's going to win an MVP someday. Do you know how would it look? Let's say he wins it. Dallas is the 8 seed. Luka's the MVP. Wow, look at that. Dallas loses to Phoenix in the first play-in game, and then loses to the Lakers or the Warriors in the second one. And now your MVP is not even in the playoffs?
Yeah, that's wild.
It's stupid. I hate it.
I'm with you, but I am also a renowned, Luka Doncic detractor. So, I mean, what am I going to say? I've never enjoyed watching him play.
Sure, like, an aesthetically pleasing
game. Yeah, he's very gifted, but again, they didn't make the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we're at. I mean, we're acting like he gets to skip steps. And the problem that I have with him is I don't care about the 9.7 assists. He really doesn't make a lot of people better.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. Like, you've seen how many iterations of this Dallas Mavericks team that they just can't figure it out. They can't take the next step.
And there's a common thread through all those teams.
Yes.
And if you're that hard to build around, if you cannot figure out how to play with the pieces around you and how to make people better.
Yep.
That to me is a larger problem.
It is. I mean, last season, Kyle, he finished 8th in the MVP balloting.
Mm-hmm.
His team didn't make the playoffs.
I mean, come on.
His team wasn't one of the 16 teams that represented the NBA in the second season.
They didn't even make the play-in.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I'm just saying, winning scoring titles doesn't equate to MVP.
No.
It just doesn't.
I mean,
All-Star, yes. But MVP, no. All-NBA, sure. Yeah. But you have to actually win games. That's the goal of the NBA is to win games. It's not to score as many points as you can.
Yeah.
So.
Will Warner brings this up in the chatty house, and it's an important point. Luka's odds are that low, partly due to the fact that he was a preseason favorite. And I totally get it. If they made Luka plus 10,000, a bunch of people are going to go bet it, and a book could lose its ass if the Mavericks win out and Luka's the MVP. All of a sudden, I totally get that. And there's all the preseason money on him. I 100% understand that. The odds are more of a product. My frustration is more a product of the fact that Luka continues to just be put in this pedestal of like, well, he's going to win an MVP someday. Well, this is the year. Okay, here's the year he's going to do. Like, man, can we take a year off and make him earn it once?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't know. Anyways, shifting gears.
It's okay, Kyle.
Thanks. The Kings, huge win over the Timberwolves in overtime on Friday. That was I. You know what? No, I will not be bamboozled. That was a good win. It was a legit. No De'Aaron Fox. Domantas Sabonis fouls out. That is a game that you go, man, on the road against one of the best teams in the West.
Yep.
You don't have your two best players for the biggest moments of the game. Yeah, you're just not winning that one. And they did. They scratched, they clawed, they found a way to win. Fantastic. Needed it. 3-2 on their first 5-game stretch after the All-Star break. That's awesome. But I'm not buying into the Kings figured it out. Here they are. I'm not doing it this time. Nope.
I think
you're not getting me.
Didn't you ask me going into that 5-game stretch, if I just gave you 3-2 right now, would you take it?
Mm-hmm.
And I said yes.
Yeah.
Because that's a difficult stretch.
It is.
So you got the win against the Spurs, which I think everyone expected.
Yep.
But then after that, the Clippers win was unexpected. I think
Dominant.
Everyone thought that they would
really
beat the
good
Heat,
win.
But they didn't beat the Heat, even though they were missing a bunch of players. I personally thought that they were going to get stomped by Dallas, I mean, by Denver. That's kind of like on par. But then this Minnesota game, it was a big question. Like, how are you going to perform in like a big situation where you're up against it? And I thought that they played extremely well. Players only meeting, all kinds of stuff going on. So to me, yeah, good win.
I'm not buying into the.
You can't.
No, I don't have any reason to.
No, you can buy into them as like a yo-yo team.
Yeah, they had that loss to Phoenix right before the break, and then they beat Denver on the back-to-back, and then they come back and they beat the Spurs, and they have this blowout win over the Clippers. They've won 3 in a row, and you're going, okay, here it comes. And then faceplant against Miami.
At home.
You go get smoked in Denver, and great win against Minnesota. But like you said, this is just indicative. This is where they've been all year.
Yeah, you are who you are at this point.
But again, this is a great jumping-off point. We'll talk about the next 5 games coming up. If you go 5-0 in those games, all of a sudden things might start to roll. But I'm the fact that after such a great win over Minnesota, you look at Chicago at Lakers, Spurs, Rockets, Bucks, and you're like, yeah, 3-2 possible there as well.
You need 4-1
minimum. But we'll talk about that. Well, that 5-game streak starts tonight against the Chicago Bulls. We'll talk about that. We'll have plenty from the weekend's action and the Kings win over the Timberwolves in this players-only meeting. Was that a turning point for the season? We've got a ton of stuff coming up for you on the Insiders. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back in a couple minutes on ESPN 1320.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube.
Okay, now for real.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's right. That is James Hamm. This is Kyle Madsen. And the Kings are back in action tonight following their outstanding overtime win in Minnesota, a 124-120. Now they need to stay on a winning track, though.
Mm-hmm.
As we've talked all year about how, okay, great win, and they followed up with a clunker of a loss or a win where you just don't come out feeling great. And now they start a stretch of 12 of 16 at home. They start a stretch of 5 games where you probably want to win 4 of them minimum, possibly mm-hmm. 5.
Okay.
And it all starts tonight at Golden 1 Center against the Chicago Bulls, who, man, this is one of those things where I don't want to be the person that if a Bulls fan listened, they'd be like, wow, that person clearly doesn't, that guy doesn't know the ins and outs and ups and downs and everything in between of the Chicago Bulls, because I don't. Totally, going to be totally honest. So I watch them on League Pass sometimes, 100%. I don't know what the Bulls are doing. I don't have a good idea of, like, you watch the Spurs and you're like, okay, it's Wemby, it's Devin Vassell, and they got to kind of figure it out from there, but you see kind of what they want to do.
The outline.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the Bulls, they tried to do is assemble a talented group, and it didn't work, and then they didn't pull the plug on it. So mm-hmm. here we are 3 years into this group, and you're wondering, when are you going to break it up? I've said this before. This, and it's not because Nikola Vucevic was on both squads, but this feels so much like the Orlando Magic for like go back 3 years ago, 4 years ago, for like a 5-year stretch where they had all of this talent and could never, ever put it together. You know, Aaron Gordon, Evan Fournier, Vucevic, like they couldn't get over the hump and never could figure it out. And then they were like 3 years too late to break it up. And mm-hmm. I never understood why they just kept holding on to the team. Mm-hmm. You have to know it's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing I'd say with the Kings right now. Hey, look, if you take a step back and you don't make the playoffs, like, your team wasn't good enough. That means you have to hit the reset button on a couple of players, on a couple of positions on the floor, a couple of rotational spots, and really break up some of what you're doing and try to start over a little bit. You don't have to tear it down to nothing, but that's what the Chicago Bulls have kind of like run themselves up against, is that they have all of these pieces. And we've talked about this with other teams. You look like, man, Coby White's a good young player. He's
playing really well.
Yeah, he's fun. Oh, man, I'd love to have Patrick Williams on my team. Alex Caruso's a stud. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why he's playing the four at 6'4", but you know, he's one of those guys where you're like, hey, how would he look on Sacramento Kings? And most of their players, you say, hey, that would look great.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of time, a collection of players is not a team, and you have to realize that very quickly.
That's
and you
it.
Need to figure out a way to galvanize that group. And if you can't, you need to move on.
It felt like they were hosed when they paid Zach LaVine. LaVine, to me, is the type of player that you're paying to be your foundational, like, 1A guy.
Well, you're paying him that way.
Right. And he's not. He's never been that player to me. And I think that's where, man, if they had that kind of salary cap space open, if they had that salary slot open, they could go maybe make a move that complements Coby White, that complements DeMar DeRozan and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of his name, Io Desumu.
Oh, yeah.
So you have all the Alex Caruso. Now you can compliment those guys. And Zach LaVine just doesn't. None of the pieces are complimentary. But on the other hand, if you're the Kings, they have enough talented players that you can't take them unseriously.
Yeah.
They're not a bad team.
Nope.
They're just
not a good team.
Rudderless team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just kind of floating in the abyss.
Well, that and they play a really slow style. Their pace is 29th in the NBA. Their defense is okay. They're 15th in the NBA. But again, that's a lot because they slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense is meh. They're 22nd in the league in offense. They're bad at shooting the 3-point shot. There's a lot of things about this team where you're just kind of not convinced that they're anything. You know, they're an ISO team. And yeah. if you're Mike Brown, and I know Mike absolutely hates running a zone.
Mm-hmm.
Run a zone against these guys. They don't have a way to stop a zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't pass the ball. They're just a bunch of ISO players and, you know, like, shrink the court. Make them beat you from three. And, of course, we say that, and then the Kings get beat from three.
Huh.
But that's kind of where I'm at with this team. They're not overly good at anything. There's not one thing that you can point to. You know, they don't turn the ball over. Okay. Outside of that, they're number two in the league and not turning the ball over. There isn't anything else that they're really good at, even in the least bit. And so, you know, sometimes you have a broken team like this, but every team in the NBA is dangerous, and the Sacramento Kings have overlooked so many different teams in the past that you just can't do it this time.
I would like to see them one time just beat the heck out of one of these teams.
Yeah, like just convincing. Yeah,
yeah,
show me.
Go win 125-98.
Yeah.
A game where we don't come in tomorrow and go, whew, you know, a win is a win, I guess. No, go beat the heck out of somebody, man. Like, this is the perfect opportunity to do it. They are allowing they're last in the league in 3-point shots and 3-point attempts allowed. And teams are shooting, they're middle of the league in 3-point percentage allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to get your looks.
Yeah.
Go knock them down. Go run them off the floor. I don't know. I said I wasn't going to get bamboozled. I wasn't going to demand too many things. And I'm not going to demand that the Kings go beat the heck out of the Bulls. But I sure would like to see it tonight.
That's the tough thing. You want to look at this team and say, okay, you know, the Bulls projected starters for tonight. Kobe White, Io Desumu, DeMar DeRozan, Alex Caruso, Nikola Vucevic. You match up well against every single one of those players.
Yes.
Caruso's a defensive genius. But outside of that, DeMar DeRozan's going to kill you in the mid-range. We all know that. But DeMar DeRozan against a 6'8", Keegan Murray or a 6'8", Harrison Barnes,
mm-hmm.
That's not a bad matchup for the Kings.
It's going to bother him for sure.
Especially if you're able to put Keegan out there. You know, the Kings, it does. De'Aaron Fox is questionable, but he went through practice yesterday. There's a good chance he plays. If he does, we're back to De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Huerter, Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray, and Domantas Sabonis as your starters. Like, you just go down the list. Like, would I take De'Aaron Fox over Kobe White? Yes. Do I take Kevin Huerter over Desumu? Yes. Do I take Harrison Barnes against DeMar DeRozan? No. But Keegan Murray against Alex Caruso? Yes. Domantas Sabonis against Vucevic? Yes. I take all of those.
Yeah.
And then you got Malik Monk.
Yeah.
And they don't have Malik Monk coming off the bench.
No.
So, yeah, this it's one of those games where just show me, convince me that you're the team that everybody wants you to be. And not only that, the Kings played on Friday.
They flew, whole weekend.
They flew back on Saturday and took the day off.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, good for them. Spend time with family. They came in and they had a good solid practice on Sunday. Spoke to the media. With like a good little media session with Keon Ellis and De'Aaron Fox and Mike Brown. Like, you had a weekend to relax and kind of recover.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the first game back after a long road trip. You had a 2-game road trip and you had 2 days off to prepare. This is the moment where it's either put up or shut up.
Yep.
So,
who's your matchup to watch?
For me, I think it's DeMar DeRozan versus Harrison Barnes. And, you know, again, that could be Keegan Murray. against DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. But this is one. If you take away him, then it's like Kobe White and who else? Like,
yeah,
Kobe White is historically, like, he's beat up on the Kings a couple of times.
Sure.
But this is one of those games where if you take away their veteran guy and make them beat you in another way, I don't know that they can. And they'll be gritty and they'll try to stick with you. But this is a game where the Kings need to show that they have another gear.
I did not realize Kobe White is averaging 19 a game this year.
Yeah. Well,
19, 5, and 5.
That's aided by the fact that Zach LaVine is, you know, sure, pulled the plug on his season.
Yeah.
So.
Man. I'm interested to see, mine is Alex Caruso versus whoever he's guarding.
Oh, yeah.
Because that could be, like, that's one way if the Bulls are pulling off an upset tonight, that's one way that happens, is Alex Caruso just kind of has a really great defensive game where he's shutting somebody down, and we're like, wow, Keegan only took 7 shots, or De'Aaron really struggled, or whoever he winds up guarding.
No, that's the thing you got to worry about, is that they're going to have somebody step up defensively and slow down somebody, or De'Aaron Fox just doesn't look like De'Aaron Fox in his first game back. That's always possible. And there's also the possibility that he gets up to game time and says, hey, look, I just don't think I should go yet. And you got to wait a couple of days because they do have a back-to-back coming up.
Yeah. All right. Kings Bulls tonight. We will continue that discussion. We'll have some keys to the game for you coming up. And a couple of more notes on the Kings players-only meeting that helped spark their win over the Timberwolves. How does that play into this next stretch of games? We'll have all of that coming up for you on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Jiffy Lube is what I'm calling it.
All right. I got something wild going on in my Slack for my other for my other job. We're doing a... So I work for the NFL Wire Network. NinersWire.com is a website. And it's a... It's under USA Today Sports Media Group, and we have... Every team has a site. And right now we are doing a network-wide mock draft. So it's like a fantasy draft, but with this year's players.
Okay.
Okay. Or this year's draft prospects. I'm bored of picking at number 31 because we've done a couple of these. And every mock draft I see has the same like player or two going to the 49ers. And it's just kind of boring. And so I went, I'm going to try and mess around and trade up. So our Seahawks guy hits me up and he says, hey, make me an offer for 16. So I make him an offer. Like number 31, the Niners second round pick this year and then a second round pick next year to move up 15 spots to number 16.
Okay.
And at least, whether that's a good deal or not, it's... Eh.
Did you look at the chart?
Yeah, I went and looked at the chart. It pretty much breaks even. But I wanted to do something different. Well, then the Broncos wire guy hits me up during the show and he says, hey, if J.J. McCarthy's gone, do you want number 12?
Oh?
So I have now pulled the plug on my deal with Seahawks guy, and I'm jumping up to 12 for less than I was going to pay to get to 16.
Amen.
That's just good GMing by me.
And you are the 49ers?
Yeah, I'm the 49ers here.
Okay.
So I'm giving up 31 and 63. That's their first and second round picks this year. And then a late sixth round pick.
Oh.
To jump up to number 12 instead of this year's first and second and next year's second to jump up to 16.
Okay, and are you drafting an offensive lineman there?
Yeah, that's my goal, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless a different, if like an edge rusher has fallen,
okay,
I might look into that, but I will be looking for the best offensive tackle is my current plan.
That would be my plan. And yeah. Like, look, if I'm the Niners, I'd be looking, like, in real life. Like, if you can move up, move up.
Like, yeah, they have 11 picks in this year's draft.
Yeah, why not move up? Like, you can't, 11 players aren't going to make the 49ers.
No, I don't think they have that many roster spots.
No, that's not going to happen. So, like, be aggressive, and if you can move up, move up. Did you see KJ Wright, former Seahawks All-Pro and assistant linebackers coach,
being hired as the
assistant linebackers coach for the San Francisco 49ers.
I love that. We'll probably eventually be the defensive coordinator.
There it is.
I wonder if we can get him on. I'm going to try and get him on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He was great.
He was really good. I don't know if he can do it now, but I'm going to try and get him on tomorrow before that stuff becomes official.
Yeah, it's cool too because that's where Mike Brown's son is. You know, he's a defensive quality control coach. And that's good. Like learn from a guy who's been there and who's done it.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Sacramento Kings.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're getting back to. I get that they are erratic. We've talked about this all year, right? They're up and down and they're this and that. Are they as good as last year? Are they not? The record's the same, but they're not. How's the vibe? Why do you think that there's such a stark difference between last year's team, which felt like, okay, it is all right, it is all ascending, versus this year's team where it's like, man, the hills and valleys are just stark based on like game by game and week by week, it seems.
Yeah. Okay. So I've always been someone who says I don't make a, it's like what I say about coaching staffs, right? Like, you don't fire a head coach until he's lost the locker room. Mm-hmm. If a guy loses the locker room, he's got to go, like, right now. Because that's when the culture of a franchise completely goes downhill.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel the same way when it comes to, you don't make a trade just to make a trade. You make a trade because it makes you better. And I kind of feel that by not making a trade and by running it back, that, you know, sometimes that whole, like, everyone's in this together, everyone's, like, friends and all that stuff, it works, right?
Mm-hmm.
But by not challenging anyone in the rotation, really, except for a little bit early in the season with Chris Duarte and Kevin Huerter, I kind of feel like complacency a little bit has set in, that this team is kind of, they know that this is who they are. They think that they have another gear that they can hit, that they can turn it on and be this other team. But there is... like almost like too much of a run it back. You know, the top eight guys are still the same eight guys from last season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the top 9, 10, maybe a little bit different, but also if you're a guy in the starting lineup or a guy who's in the rotation, is there anyone to even challenge you for your position? And I'm not saying that you have to be pushed all the time, but I also think there is something to the old iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
Right? And if you got an entire group that's just kind of sitting there off to the side, that's, you know, young players who aren't going to get a shot or mm-hmm. might get a shot here and there, but they're not taking anyone's position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking, again, like Keon Ellis is, I like Keon Ellis, but Colby Jones isn't part of, like, what's happening this season. Kessler Edwards has been, like, a bit player in this whole season. And then you got your two bigs that, you know, they could battle with each other, Alex Lynn and JaVale McGee, but we kind of understand who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like either one of them is going to unseat Domantas Sabonis.
Right.
So I think that there is a little bit of complacency. I think there's a little bit of not only expectations from the outside, but I think they just expect that they are better than they are.
Yeah.
And they haven't proven that they are that team, that they are a team that can walk out and beat anyone on any given night. I'm sure they beat the Minnesota Timberwolves twice at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've beat
two Denver. Great wins, by the way.
Yeah, they beat Denver mm-hmm. three games out of four.
Outstanding.
You know, they're right now they've beat OKC twice.
Yep.
They've beat the Dallas Mavericks a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Like they beat the Lakers a couple of times. Like
got the Suns a couple of times.
Yeah, they've most of their season series are either splits or wins outside of the Pelicans, right? And even the Clippers, they're down 2-1, but they just are, you know, like they're just kind of like floating in space
mm-hmm.
and waiting for something to galvanize them and make them the team that they assume that they already are. That's what it kind of feels like. And that's why I think, hey, look, players only meeting, it can have an impact, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my problem as someone who's covered the Sacramento Kings for 14 years is that the first 12, they were so bad that a players only meeting had such a small amount of impact. It's right. Like it might have like a 2-game carryover and they look good whether they win or lose. They look good. They look solid. They look like together for a couple of games.
Sure.
But then that fades and they go right back to who they were. This is the first time I've seen a players only meeting with what is a good team,
mm-hmm.
just not a great team.
Yeah. And that's where, because you hear, like you said, this is any team, players only meeting typically means like, oh, that's the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
The Bulls, these same Chicago Bulls, had a players only meeting after one game.
Oh,
they played one game and went, well, this isn't working. Players only meeting, right? That's usually the sign of a mess,
dysfunction.
But on the other hand, this to me, this Kings players only meeting was not. And maybe you heard differently at practice yesterday, and please let me know if you did. But this to me was more about, hey, we are running into a ceiling because of X, Y, and Z reasons that we need to work out amongst ourselves. Let's not complain about minutes. Let's not complain about shots, or you need to shoot more, or you need to shoot less, or whatever it is. It was about not, hey, how can we get this? The train has fallen off the tracks. How do we get it back on?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's have a meeting about this. This was this train is going at half speed. How do we get it up to full throttle? And that is a really significant difference in tone to me if you are the players having this players only meeting.
Yeah, and I'll say this. First of all, Trey Lyles is the one who said, hey, I think this is a good idea. Let's go sit down and have a players only meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, whether he went to De'Aaron or however he went to the leadership council and said, hey, I think we could use a players only meeting. I think we need to close the doors and like have a discussion here.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's big because Trey Lyles is quietly becoming like a really, really substantial player behind the scenes for this team. He's a really, really bright guy, an intellectual guy, a guy who does have a role on this team, but we're starting to see him having more and more and more of a voice over the last couple of years. So I think that that's big. But then also Fox is like, yeah, I'm supportive of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm down. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So I thought Fox had some good comments. He said, you know, like whether it's like AAU or high school or college, like whatever level, there are players that we've all played with that don't like talking in front of coaches. And mm-hmm. he's like, I've never been that guy. I'm okay like walking over to Luke or walking over to Jordy or walking over to Mike and saying, I don't like what we're doing here. Can we do something different? Or mm-hmm. this is what I think we should do. It's like I've never
easy
had
to
that
do
problem.
When you're the best player on the team.
It is. It is. He said, but there are a lot of other players that don't feel comfortable. And not only that, but like walking over, it's not just walking over to your coach and saying something. Mm-hmm. It's walking over your teammate and saying, hey man, you know, that's not okay what you just did.
Right.
And, you know, again, we saw the Kings haven't had like the big brawl behind the scenes, like Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole in the face. That and again, those
that's
things.
That's good.
But those things, like, they happen, and that should have been handled much differently by the mm-hmm. the Warriors. Like, they botched that situation
sure.
so bad. But that doesn't mean that the Kings don't have angst behind the scene, that they don't have people who are starting to believe in something different than the all-in mantra. And, mm-hmm. you know, not to, like, we saw it from Kevin Huerter the game before, where Kevin Huerter started talking about, you know, he not playing. Yeah, I wish yeah. I could have been out there to help my team. It's like, okay, but we saw what happened when you were out there to help your team.
Didn't go great.
It didn't go great, and he wasn't the only one. It went bad for everybody, but like that was a bad night, and that's not, I think when you have comments like that, it's probably time to like get everybody in a room and say, hey, what exactly did you mean? Because we can all look at a box score. We right. can all look at it. We all watch the same film. We all watch the same film. Mm-hmm. We can all sit down and see the mistakes that you make, the mistakes that we make. But what exactly do you mean? And like, just air all of the grievances that you might have. And when you do that in a setting where it's just the players, it now shifts the onus from the coaching staff to
yes.
you.
Yes.
And I've thought that not that there's a disconnect between the coaching staff and the players this season, but that the players have not done what the coaching staff has demanded of them. And like as a coach, you can only run into a brick wall so many times and say, hey, look, what exactly are we doing here? Why is it that, you know, Mike Brown said it very specifically, why would I change my scheme on defending the three-point shot when they're not doing what we're asking them to do? And your only other choice then mm-hmm. is to change the players.
That's it.
And the players didn't get changed. So if the players don't get changed and you got to deal with the same thing and you keep teaching the same exact principles and they're not listening or they're not functionally doing what you're asking, then you get to an impasse. And that's, again, where bad things start to happen. And so I don't know. I'm down with the players only meeting. Mike Brown has coached a lot of good teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a guy who won a championship with the Spurs. He took the Cleveland Cavaliers to the finals, I think twice, once, but took them to the Eastern Conference Finals multiple mm-hmm. times. He won three rings with the Warriors. Like, and his point of view is like when the team starts to take ownership, that's when we start to really take off.
Yes.
When they take ownership of what's happening and you start seeing them putting their arms around each other and saying, hey, you can't keep doing that, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's when this team is going to take off, at least in theory.
Sure.
We still have to see it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can say all you want, but it has to go be executed. It has to be practiced. It has to be not yeah. literal practice. It has to be put into action in games. But I do wonder if this is what because we've kind of said all year, like it feels like there's just something wrong. It's not necessarily like the players, like, yeah, there's Keegan can do this different and Davion can do this different and Huerter can do this different. And we've talked about that, but it's felt like there's just something amiss the entire year.
Yeah, I would say maybe, wrong is probably too harsh of a word. Something is off.
Off, yeah.
You know
sure,
what I mean? Like,
sure.
like yeah. I don't think something's like horribly wrong behind the scenes and there are people who don't like people and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But something has felt off the whole season.
Yeah.
And it's because we have something to compare them to, which was last season's club, which mm-hmm. is the exact same players. Mm-hmm. And they have the exact same record mm-hmm. at the exact same time, even today, mm-hmm. same record going into the night that they had last season.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it feels right. Something feels off.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that that's easier to call out teammates in that setting than because you've played sports. Anybody who's played a sport at any level, I don't care if it was little league, rec league, high school, college, travel ball, AAU, whatever it is, you know that when a coach says, hey, do X, it's like, okay, yeah, I got to do X. But when your teammate walks up and is like, dude, do X.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Okay. Now it just hits different.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when my parents are listening. This is going to frustrate them. It's like when your parent tells you to do something. I don't care what it is. Like, hey, you need to drink water. You need to drink more water. Make sure you're drinking water. That's just, I've been trying to drink more water. That's why it's in my head. You got to drink more water. And you're just like, yeah. What? Okay. Yeah. But then, your best friend, it's like, dude, I just read this online. You know you should be drinking X amount of ounces of water a day. I'm like, oh my God. I need to drink more water.
Or they say, I got kidney stones and you really don't want kidney stones and you should probably do.
That's literally the impetus behind me drinking water.
Yeah.
I am terrified to get a kidney stone.
Well, I think every male should be terrified of getting, everyone should be terrified, yeah, but every males person. Specifically.
Every person. No, so it's like, and then you go back to your parents and you're like, hey, did you know you should be drinking X amount of water a day? And they're like, yes.
I've been telling you this.
Right, but it just hits different when it's somebody. So I like you said, I'm not going to make any judgments on whether the players only meeting was good or bad until we see what happens over the next 23 games. But yeah. if over the next 23 they go 17-6, then I think you now have a turning point. Like that would be the thing that was different that needed to happen off the court, because it was clear on the court. It wasn't, they've had good wins. They've had come from behind wins. They've had blowout wins. They've had all these really good road wins and home wins and wow. But there needed to be something different that happened that kind of upset the apple cart a little bit to kind of, like I said, get their train going at full throttle again. And now I believe we kind of have that moment, and we could have that moment. We'll see though.
Well, this is a put up or shut up moment. Like either you had the meeting and you came out of it with the right point of view,
mm-hmm.
or you don't, and you look like the same team, or maybe even worse, because mm-hmm. these things can go the other way. Like easily, it can go the other way. You can have a players only meeting, and now a bunch of guys feel alienated, like they're mm-hmm. on the outside and they're not part of the clique and whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that again plays into why Trey Lyles calling this meeting means so much.
Yeah.
Because Trey Lyles is part of the rotation, but he's not the top dog. He's mm-hmm. not the guy. So basically he's talking, you know, if you put him at the seventh man on the roster, which is what he is basically mm-hmm. in the rotation. The seventh man in the rotation, when you have a 15-man roster, is right in the middle. He's the guy that if you look in the locker room, Trey Lyles' locker is right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
He's the common ground between everybody. He's one of the guys that hears things from one side, hears things from the other side. He's quiet. He's introspective. He's a guy who has the book club. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the intellectual of the group. He's the one who's listening, who's watching, who everyone comes to, who's friends with everybody, who's talked about this being the best family he's ever been a part of in the NBA, who's talked about, like, again, that statement he had last year where he said this is the first time he'd ever been invited to a teammate's house for dinner.
That's so crazy.
Isn't that wild and crazy? Like
that feels like a thing that just happens all the time.
No, apparently you would not. Think so. You know, and guys like teams go out to dinner and stuff. But anyway, the point was that like Trey feels like something. So when Trey is going to go and call a meeting like this and go have this discussion, this is kind of interesting though. It's not because Trey wants more for himself or more for one person or another. He's trying to protect the family. Because that's who he is. He's the guy who has felt the family vibe
yep.
and then feels the family vibe slipping
mm-hmm.
and wants the family back together. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's something I can really appreciate in this situation. And you hope that it plays out the right way. And again, like, if you're Mike Brown, I think Mike has been pretty pointed at his team this year. Like, more pointed than almost any coach that I've ever seen. A lot of coaches won't say a player's name to protect them. Mm-hmm. Like, Dave Yeager won't say a player's name at all. Mm-hmm. Like, that's always been something that was interesting. Mike Brown, I mean, like, Mike Malone.
Yeah.
He would kind of, like take some jabs here and there, where George Karl would didn't mind like throwing it out there. Hey, a Coke machine would get more than one rebound in 30 minutes. Everyone looks at the box score, 30 minutes, one rebound. Hey, Derek Williams, you're the Coke machine, right? So that's where I think Mike has been like super, super like out there. He has called out his teammates. Yeah. He has said, hey, look, I would love to tell you that I'm going to switch everything up, but I'm not going to do that until they do what I'm telling them to do.
Yeah.
That's on them. That's not on me.
Yeah.
And for me to have a coach say that is like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
First of all, he's earned it. You know, he's got a 6-12 career win percentage or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's got rings. He got four of them. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so you see these things that Mike brings to the table, but if you don't want to do what Mike's saying, and then Mike's turning around and saying, hey, like, you probably need to give me some different players, mm-hmm. but that's not what's happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this is an interesting moment for the Sacramento Kings, and I'm hoping that this does galvanize them and help them move forward.
You hope so. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, it's a moment.
You want to rip through good, bad, and ugly from the Kings' win over the Wolves? Now that we've talked about the players-only meeting that has possibly changed the season.
Yeah.
Was this players-only meeting or Mason Jones' arrival a bigger deal for the Kings? James, your thoughts? What was good? Give me one good thing. The best thing from Friday's game.
That was Malik Monk. Just
unbelievable.
Being a flat-out superstar. And then almost blowing the game by missing free throws.
Bro,
but
just peak Kings in that moment.
Peak.
Oh, God.
No De'Aaron Fox. Domantas Sabonis fouls out. And Monk just said, get on board. I'm going to backpack you guys. We got this.
That was it.
Spectacular.
Yeah, 16 of 29 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3. Man, 39 points. Just 2 of 4 from the line. 39 points on 4 free throw attempts.
Well, that and how many threes?
5.
He went 5 of what?
8.
Ooh. So he finally got his 3-point stroke back.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I loved that he continued attacking downhill. They didn't have anybody who could stay in front of him. And I didn't show any fear with Rudy Gobert inside. I was blown away by how good Malik Monk was.
I was absolutely
blown away.
I was too. And I think one of our keys to victory was just attack. Stop worrying about Rudy Gobert. Just attack. Mm-hmm. And I thought he did it. And then I thought the other key that we have here, the other good, is I thought Davion Mitchell did it as well.
Oh my God. I honestly thought it was a different player than Davion Mitchell.
Mm.
Like, I'm watching him going, who is that? He was 7 of 8 from the field. He scores 16 points, a couple rebounds, a couple assists. I did have one turnover, but man, it was really nice to see Davion Mitchell come into a game. He played more minutes than Keon Ellis, who started, and he was really, really effective in his 25 and a half minutes.
He looked like he was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
Just in attack mode from the moment he stepped on the floor, and like, bravo. And hey, I thought Keon Ellis played extremely well too.
Mm-hmm.
Keon, he didn't score.
Yeah.
He only took 2 shots, but he finished with 2.7 assists, 4 steals,
mm-hmm.
And a block. I thought like some of the plays he had were incredible. Even the block he had, I'm trying to think who it was that beat him. Well, he got screened. He got picked off.
Yeah, one was.
And then he tracked it down and blocked him.
Can't remember.
Yeah, I can't. I think it was Conley.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Mike Conley washed, by the way. I'm out on Mike Conley.
Okay.
We can talk more about the Timberwolves big picture. I have concerns about them long term. They are very good this year, though, and that was a great win for the Kings. Bad Trey Lyles continues to struggle finding a shot. 1 for 3 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3. That wasn't great. He did pull down 5 boards, but
it is a game where 2 other players had 55 points off the bench, so it's tough.
Yeah.
My bad. Kevin Huerter, 3 of 12 from the field, 8 points. He did have 6 rebounds, 4 assists, but he wasn't happy with the minutes he played, and I don't think that that's the type of game that you have 3 of 12 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3 when you make it known you're unhappy.
Yeah, that's tough. And the ugly, I go, man, 13 of 24 from the free throw line.
Oh,
and
so
two bad ones that kept Minnesota in the game late.
Well, that, and I think the other thing was they had a big lead going into the fourth, and they were outscored 33 to 24 in the fourth. Got beat by 9 points in the fourth, which is why we go to overtime, but they pulled it out.
Yep. Found a way to win, and that is ultimately the best thing for Sacramento. They just got to keep stacking wins at this point. They are now up to the number 6 seed. Let's take a look at how they got to the 6 seed. We'll take a look around the NBA with some pretty wild stuff that happened over the weekend. We'll tell you about it next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.